Jesus talking to you and me. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp to put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. This is the text. There is your test. Enlighten the world. Illumine the earth. Let your light shine so that others may see what's what. Light was the second item created by God. The Bible starts out by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness hovered over the abyss, foreboding, threatening. Doesn't it send a chill down your spine? Darkness. Darkness is bad. Darkness is always bad because it's the lack of information. And we thrive and live in information, and we eat information. We live by it. We need it. Without information, there is only fear and doubt and fright in our lives. Anxiety. There is no peace in darkness. And we need peace to live. Shalom, said Jesus upon his resurrection. Peace. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. And Jesus says to you and me, you are the light of the world. He assigns to us the task in illuminating the earth so that people know what's what. The act of lighting up a room is an educational act, is it not? If this were dark and we would just sense movements in the pew, you know, it could be a bunch of bears crawling around. Light up the joint and everything is fine. We can see and there is no fear. Every week we gather here as reflectors of the light from above to polish our lenses, to reshape our lenses, and to sharpen the focus on the dark spots of the world. That's our test. Let your light shine, Jesus says, and he gives it to us in abundance. The automobile industry is a clear example of what happens when people dedicate themselves and focus their attention on a problem. The problem was that the horseless carriage, as it was called, could not see at night. Horses have those big, beautiful, serene eyes, and they know the way home. They can see when, for you and me, it's absolute darkness. They don't miss a step. Take the horses away. Now you have to guide your own carriage. The horse knows the way home, but not your carriage. And so somebody had a bright idea of putting candles out front, but as soon as it moved, the candle would blow out. So they made a little box of glass. And then somebody thought, hey, half of this light of the candle is lost because it shines backwards where it doesn't have to. lens in the back, a reflector, a mirror. So now, that same candle was twice as strong. Well, 100 and some years of experimenting, of reshaping, of studying, of analyzing, of experimenting with new materials and new systems has produced the lights that we love to paint, especially in the rearview mirror, the blue lights that really erase all the darkness of the road, including the sidewalks. They've come a long way with reflectors, and that did not happen by accident. They worked harder than week after week in the laboratory. The Christian Church are God's reflectors, and here we gather in His laboratory week after week, and we polish the lenses. And if need be, we reshape them, and we focus them on the dark spots on the earth. And we bring light, and with Christ's light, we bring life, not only here, but in eternity. People that live in the light of Christ and know it, relax. They can walk in serenity, peace, reassurance, even joy, simply because they live in the light of Christ. What does the light shine? That light show us. Our tomb, it's empty. Satan, you were not able to hold me down, because my Lord is the victor and gives me eternal life. What does it show? Here is the book of accusations against you, as Daniel said, that the Ancient of Days came and the court was called to order and the books were opened. And your book is blank. Not a single sin in that book accusing you. You're free to go and live in eternity in God's presence, in the company of heaven, surrounded by angels, archangels, powers and potentates, and principalities and thrones, archangels. Imagine that. That's in store for you and me. This is our Christian faith. This is the one. This is Jesus, the one who died for us, who calls us the lights of the earth. Therefore, he said, let your light shine. So when we go out of here into our individual stations in life, wherever God has placed you, that is where you reflect that light from above. And people take notice. How come this person, facing such impossible problems, walks with peace in their heart? Because they walk in the light of Christ. A light no darkness can overcome. And in His light, we see light. Valparaiso University has that Bible verse as its motto. In your light, we see light. Where the light of God does not shine, it's not good. There is no science, no knowledge, no faith system without the light of Christ that can bring peace to the heart. Our death, which is the ultimate enemy, has been taken care of. And besides taking away our death, the God of all provision and love gives us shelter and food and housing. Where is the itch? It stopped itching. There is no more itch. That was an expression my mother used a lot when she noticed that one of us five was not in our normal state of being. Mothers notice those things. O prens, Matya, where is it burning? Where is the itch in the matter? what do lamps do? You know, a lamp that does not shine, a lamp that is turned off. Another name for it would be paperweight, because it has no function. A lamp shines. Lamps give light in the house for everyone to see. We, being the lights of the world, we let the people around us see the gospel, see the love of God, see that He comes with a solution for our natural problems, being dead in our trespasses. That all is part of the past, because Jesus died for all of us, for all the people of the world. Every time you come here, you are maintaining your lamps. Jesus told a story, parable, of 10 virgins that were waiting to get married to the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and let their lamps go out. They were sitting in the dark. But 5 that kept their lamps fueled, putting in oil. And when the bridegroom came, they were ready. Jesus said, "You do not know when the bridegroom will come. We do not know the last day in this world. Be ready at all times. And every time you hear the word of God, every time you assemble with Him and His people in His house, you are refueling the lamps. You are taking care of the maintenance of your lamp. And the only legitimate oil for your lamp is the word of God. You hear it, you think about it, you believe it, and you apply it in your life. And do not let Satan fill you with doubt, and fear, and lies, and provocations, and temptations. Now, the law, the light. You live in the light. The variety of stands on which we are set corresponds to the variety of lamps. Each one of us is a lamp, and each one of us has a different stand. Whether we are a wife, or a husband, or a mother, or father, or daughter, or son, or co-worker, or friend, those stations in life have not just happened randomly out of the blue. Christ has assigned them to you and me. Christ is the manufacturer, in other words, of the stand on which you are placed to let your light shine. None is too big, none is too little. Blessed Savior is our lampstand app. This is where we come and where we are informed about different stands necessary for the world. Whenever we read the publications, the newsletter, the bulletin, every week, notice of things that are happening, of things that we are doing. It is beautiful to see how far our little light from Blessed Savior can shine and bring light, the light from above, to all villages at once. When Rachel Meyer, our dear Lutheran school teacher in Bukuula, Uganda, goes on Saturday afternoons into villages around town Bukuula, and founds Sunday schools. And she teaches about Him who loved them so that He died for them so that they may live in eternity. He teaches them to sing so that the word can be memorized and applied. Lives. teaches them the liturgies of the church and the hymns in French, because that's their native language. It was where French colonies. It is beautiful to see Jim and Sue Kaiser jump on a canoe and go over a very large lake infested with hippopotamuses, and their canoe could be easily snapped in two, and yet they faithfully go to the other side because we are going to translate the Bible into Amharic, which is spoken by 15 million people all over Africa, so that they too can learn about Jesus and his death. They were working on Luke 2. When the baby was born, she wrapped it in swaddling cloths and placed it in a manger. So he looked at the word for manger and he said, "I don't know this word. What is it?" One of the elders went on the translators, elders went to the board and drew four strings and a little cradle underneath where they laid the baby. And Jim said, "That's not what happened. Look at the word again." And he explained what a manger is. It is the place where you put a cow's breakfast. What do you call that? Oh, a broken basket. When those baskets in which they hold food are broken and old, they use that to put the feed for the cattle in. And when that was read for the first time in a public hall meeting, many cried. Our Savior was not even a decent prayer. That's when you light the dark spots of God. It's fantastic work that brings joy and meaning to our life. It gives us inward structure.